May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 455. Once more we come before our God, once more his blessing ask. O may not duty seem a load, nor worship prove a task. 455.
Let us read from the Word of God in the Psalms, the Psalm 107, we're reading it, friends, because in the early hours of this morning, the words kept coming. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Let us read Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God, and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass, and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Falls because of their transgression, and because of their iniquities are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro, and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them exalt him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. There he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, we beg of thee to grant to us a breath of real prayer. May we not be left a mere word, Lord, of lip confession. Even in confessing our sins, may it not be in lip confession. And always we plead for that we feel greatly to stand in need of. Oh, may it truly be that we feel that need. Thou knowest how it is with us each, Lord. Do look in mercy upon us, Lord, and grant that we may now have the prayer of faith granted us by the work and operation of the Spirit in us. We may ask for what we really need. And thou knowest what we really need is much help. Oh, who is sufficient for these things, Lord? I, Lord, feel so insufficient. But thy word is wonderful and precious to us, Lord, thy word of truth, and the gospel of the grace of God. What wonderful gospel it is. Lord, the gospel of the grace of God, the way of thy salvation of poor, lost, how deserving sinners. And we come, Lord, as such. Oh, we come before thee here this night, Lord, feeling the burden of sin and guilt. Though thou knowest, Lord, we've been attending the means of grace, Lord, each evening of this week, apart from the Monday. And Lord, thou knowest how we do feel we have to acknowledge, we desire to acknowledge the help thou hast given and the favours we have felt of thy presence. And Lord, it's another time of need, another mountain before us. Oh, we pray, Lord, do come. Speak in that way, I will make all my mountains away. That thou art able to remove mountains. You know, with the subject last evening, we were in that looking unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Thee, the creator of all. And Lord, thy wonderful new creation. Oh, this is what we want to so know and be confirmed in, Lord, and for the dear friends to know and have the favour of knowing it, experiencing it, and thy going on to be gracious, thy carrying on thy new creation in us each, Alpha and Omega be. Let us see thy whole salvation perfectly secured in thee, Lord, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. So we would look away from ourselves now, Lord, but all our feeling of sin and guilt and a great need to solemnly confess our sins. For, Lord, that encouraging word is so much with us, thou knowest. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And oh, how we do greatly need it, Lord. Need the cleansing. Need thee to deal with us in mercy. To favour us, Lord. Oh, we may know that all our abominable sins are put away, blotted out by the blood of Christ. Oh, do grant these favours here tonight. May there be many here among thy people gathered here tonight that shall be in earnest for the blessing of pardon that our friend has prayed for. And all what we have in what we've sung, thou knowest, Lord, oh, we do need thee to come and attend to our cases. Oh, do suit thy blessing to each case. May there be by the Spirit's holy work and influence real cases here tonight. Cases in that way as what we've read in thy word. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Are there those, Lord, here, we believe there are, who do business in great waters? Oh, the great waters they were appointed in their lives they must do business in the trials and in the afflictions, in the tribulation appointed for them. Lord, oh, we know. Oh, thou to speak in the Psalms in a number of places regarding those waters. Oh, waters, waters of affliction. Oh, those angry billows. But oh, the great wonder and wonderful favour thy people are granted to know and believe that thou, Lord, the Son of God, sitteth upon the flood, and sitteth king forever. Lord, oh, we look to thee now, begging thou wilt favour us to know and feel that blessed confidence of faith, faith in thee, faith in the bleeding lamb, oh, faith in God. We beg for that faith, God-given faith. Oh, raise our little faith to a flame, Lord, and our love to a flame in return to thy to thee for thy great love to us. Oh, raise us up together, Lord, here tonight. Make us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. May this sanctuary be made a heavenly place, Lord. Oh, and precious souls blessed, favoured, blessed to know and taste redeeming love, blessed to feed upon the word by faith, blessed to feed upon thee, Lord, the Paschal Lamb. Do come then, Lord, and suit thy blessing to each one. May there be those things so known and felt here tonight, experienced here, Lord, and shall be as done for eternity by God by the Holy Spirit, granting application of the precious word of truth, and all that highest application of the holy blood of Christ, thy dear beloved Son, that which thou, O God the Father, has accepted, must ever acknowledge thy people accepted in the beloved. O Lord, bless souls here tonight to know these wondrous favours of assurance of faith, made accepted in the beloved, favoured by thy grace, thy love shed abroad in their hearts, and oh, that wonderful kindling of love in return to thee, O triune God, because of thy great love wherewith thou hast loved us and that thou hast shed it abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Oh, we pray for each one, Lord, and whatever their pathway is, thou would sanctify it to them. Thou would so give them to so know the real profit of thy divine teaching. Oh, that these things of providence and grace unite, and the work and operation of the Spirit of God in love for the souls of thy people, thou hast set thy love upon them from all eternity, and manifest them in time. And Lord, ere they are now, is born of the Spirit, those that are, Lord, they're in a pilgrimage journey. And Lord, it is through much tribulation more or less, they must and shall endure. But Lord, oh, that all the trouble and tribulation and sorrow, oh, that it may be so in thy purpose and means, thy means of good and means of grace for thy people, that there may be that real growth in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, we pray for it personally. We pray for it for our friends. We pray, Lord, do so come tonight and prove thy goodness and favour, thy love and mercy to thy people here tonight. Oh, Lord, that trouble that is appointed, that trial thy people must have and must go through, like dear Peter writes, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth. And Lord, oh, to think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but to rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Oh, the prospect of heaven. Oh, may it be clear in the eye of faith in thy people. Grant it, Lord, here tonight. And oh, that there may be a casting of all our care upon thee, Lord. May each one so know this great favour, this wonderful favour, way, thy way of helping, blessing, doing for thy people is as they by grace cast all their care upon thee, as they commit all their way unto thee. Oh, as by the grace of God, the grace of faith in exercise, they trust also in thee. And Lord, as thou hast said, thou wilt bring it to pass. Whatever it is that is such a need, such a weighty burden or cross, Lord, thy people have to beg of thee for help and grace. And oh, if it could please thee to so take away, as it may be, a thorn in the flesh or trouble they have. But Lord, if it's thy will not to take away, as we know that wonderful example of the apostle, which it was not thy will to take away his thorn in the flesh. But oh, what wonderful proving of thy holy word followed what thou didst say, and how he proved it, and how many approved it. My grace is sufficient for thee. Thy strength is made perfect in weakness. We pray for the dear friends who are in mourning and sorrow of loss of loved one. Lord, do comfort them. There are the dear friends here, Lord. There are the dear friends at Oakington. As thou hast taken, Lord, loved ones from them, Lord. Oh, we beg thou wilt comfort the dear friends who are bereaved of their loved ones. Lord, do cause that this time of the departing of a loved one may be sanctified to those that remain. Whether it be there is a wonderful hope of a loved one, or whether it is not so clear, what is that is thy holy will? And oh, we think of it in our past experience, wondering where a loved one is. Oh, but may it be solemnly given us to be concerned, for death will come to each one of us. We must all die and be as water spilt upon the ground. Sanctify us, Lord, at such a time as this, that we may be earnest in concern for our own souls. Oh, Lord, oh, to be begging thee that thou wouldst save us, oh, with that everlasting salvation. Oh, the way of thy so working and sanctifying at such a time as this has been with many, Lord. I always think of my own dear mother, who so tenderly testified of how she was begun in by the work and operation of the Spirit on the solemn day of the funeral of her dear godly grandfather, when the servant of God spoke the word of truth. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. And Lord, how thou didst shoot that arrow, thy arrow into her heart, my dear mother's heart, handmaid as she was at that time, young and tender, but thou didst bring her into concern in that way. So that the death of a godly grandfather is a means of the life of her dear granddaughter. Oh, Lord, thou knowest the families here. Thou knowest, Lord, how there is that solemnity, awful solemnity of death and the grave, and none of us can look that monster in the face unless Jesus stand between. Lord, oh, we beg that we might be assured. We may concern to know, we need to know and be assured of our standing, and it's in Jesus Christ alone. Oh, no other hope. Oh, but may we be assured with hope, good hope through grace. Oh, the Jesus Christ, the sinner's friend, loves his people to the end, those who has chosen, Lord, and in time manifested them. Lord, election known by calling. And oh, behold, he prayeth. Oh, do we have the evidences personally? Oh, Lord, do so deal in mercy that we may be assured of our standing and be living, waiting till thou dost come. As thou hast said, thou wilt come again and receive thy people unto thyself. That where I am, thou dost say, there ye may be also. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience clothed, and wash me in his blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. And O Lord, we may know those experiences of thy solemn dealings with us, as we've been reading of in those repeated things of the way that thou dost cause thy people to cry unto thee in their trouble. O Lord, do hear our cries. O Lord, have mercy. O Lord, forgive. Let a repentant rebel live. May we truly be sorry for our sins, and have godly sorrow and real repentance, and come in that way pleading, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And Lord, that we might know that favour of thy being merciful. That we might know thy favour of pardon, forgiveness. Like it was with those characters, as thou didst bless them in the record of thy word, we read of them. Thou didst say, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Daughter, go in peace, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thou didst speak, Lord, to those characters, those sinners, and they were blessed. Lord, speak tonight to precious souls, that they may truly be blessed. This is my heart's desire and prayer. So do hear us, Lord, now, in heaven thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, Lord, forgive. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1088. Shepherd divine, our wants relieve in this our evil day. To all thy tempted followers give the power to trust and pray. 1088.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to the chapter, the psalm we read, that is Psalm 107, and to preach to you with around the word, the 26th verse. But of course we know, as I've said, it is they that go down to the sea in ships. But I read the 26th verse for the text tonight. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Last night, friends, when, and I don't want to make any show of this, but when we got back to our lodge where we was lodging, just north of Manchester, after preaching in Manchester, we had a cup of drink and got into bed. And I was begging before I went to sleep, Lord, do give me a word to go to Swavesey, the friends at Swavesey, tomorrow evening. That's how I went off to sleep. And in that way, after we had committed it to him, I feel wonderfully, and I have proved it many times, in a way like that. And then I pleaded, Lord, who says he giveth his beloved sleep. And I went to sleep. And after a couple of hours, woke with these words on my spirit. They were so powerful. Their soul melteth because of trouble. I couldn't help but think of you, dear friends, here, not particularly one in or another individual ones of you, but their soul melteth because of trouble. And you know, I was trying to ponder and beg of the Lord to give me light upon what this meant. And there was the solemn side of it where I was so very anxious and concerned. If any of you are in a special trouble. But then as the Lord opened it up to me, I began to see how wonderful this is. If it is so with any one of you and any one of God's people, that at such a time they are brought to be in such a place, their soul melteth because of trouble. It's not by chance, friends. It's not under, as some may think, well, the heat of the midday sun and like the melting of wax and so on. There's all kinds of figures you can think of and consider how substances melt. But their soul melted because of trouble. Oh, the Lord in a wonderful way opened up things that I may not even be able to bring tonight. One feels very limited to bring these things. But if the Lord so come and open up and come tonight, their soul, I believe it means all of one or another of the people of God. For these characters, right from the beginning of the psalm, we should consider the call of God is to these characters. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And you know, this is repeated, friends, through the psalm. God's people have to be brought to, and God's purpose is to bring them to, have to cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Now let me put it to you, what is our greatest concern really is that the redeemed of the Lord may say so and acknowledge God's grace. Have you got a testimony of the grace of God, God having called you by grace? But regarding having to cry to the Lord in your trouble, has God brought you into trouble, into soul trouble? Have you got that you do know by experience that you have been brought into soul trouble, into real soul need? Has the Lord so begun to deal with you and me? You know, we can go on all our lives and not know the experience of the Lord dealing with us. We can have a Christian profession, which we make, even if we attend the means of grace, we make a Christian profession. We might go on dead in sins all our days and never know or taste His grace. And that is very solemn. But I began to think, well, if among the friends that swave us here, there are those who are having to prove and know at this time their soul melteth because of trouble. And I began to feel a sweet joy and thankfulness that there will be such, there are such among you. God has made you to know and experience where your soul melteth because of trouble. And the figure of melting, if you think of it, melting, it is becoming liquid and everything like that. You know, it may be many things are providential things, or family things, or things of one's own health. Health may be greatly shaken by illness, and there's such trouble. And I believe this word soul is not just, as it's used here, is not just the inner being. There are many places in the Word of God where the word soul does not just mean the inner being. And I believe this is one of them. Their soul, everything about them. Body, mind and soul. Circumstances and all things. Providence and grace, their soul melteth because of trouble. And I believe, friends, it will be so. I think of when God first dealt with me and brought me into soul trouble, and I name it soul trouble in that way. It was much inward, although I'd heard the word spoken by a servant of God, which made me solemnly have to consider. But you know, the trouble I knew spiritually in a way of the solemn conviction of sin affected me so much in every way, although I couldn't and didn't say anything to anyone about it. But I had to, when God began to make me pray, because I couldn't pray. You know, this is a place perhaps where their soul melted because of trouble. In such a depth of place, they can't pray. They can't pray. And in the early first experience of it, they don't know how to pray. But you see, the work of the Spirit has begun in that character. And God goes on to work. And He gives to these convicted souls that are full of trouble and distress and affliction of mind and heart and burden of sin and guilt of sin, He gives them to be able to begin to pray. He gives prayer. Oh, they can only pray as God gives them to be directed to the mercy seat, that one who can save. And I believe the first time that I really prayed with some measure of hope in praying was after God had so gave me that favour through the verse of the hymn being sung, the vilest sinner, heir of hell, who lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. And I believe, I hope, I'm sure I'm right in testifying it. I would not want to say anything wrong. God knows everything what is done in one. But you know, I believe that was the very time and moment I could begin to pray with some measure of faith that it was real prayer, because I could begin to pray with some measure of faith that God could be merciful to me. If he would, he could. And I began to pray with some measure of hope. I believe God raised one to a hope by those words. And I began to pray. Before that, my very soul, everything about me was melted because of trouble. And you know, really, I look back on it as such a great blessing, really. And my soul was melted because of trouble. Now, do any of you know this here tonight? I believe there are those of you who can acknowledge it. And it may be in further times of solemn, deep experience, as God's appointed it, that we should be as this figure is set here, as those that they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. You consider this like as with Jonah. You know, he went down to the sea in ship with those many with him. And you know, he was in rebellion against God. And surely God brought him to a place where his soul was melted because of trouble. Oh God. God was dealing with him in mercy. It didn't appear so. The situation didn't look as though it was. But oh, God had determined it all from all eternity. Dear Jonah, when he had rebelled against the commandment of God, are there any here rebelling against the commandment of God? He was so then brought into this place, this great trouble. He was on a ship to Tarshish, going the wrong way, going against the will of God. He was going down to the ship, to the sea in a ship, and he was doing business in great waters, solemn business according to his will, his rebellion. But God was bringing him to do business in deep waters, great waters, and he was having to go into such a depth. And I think it can be said, surely it can be acknowledged, when he was in that whale's belly, the belly of hell as it is spoken of, oh, his soul was melted because of trouble. There's nothing he could do. It couldn't in any way move or do anything. His soul was melted because of trouble. But God was still with him, and God gave him a cry to God. Oh, here he, out of the belly of hell, cried I. And he cried to God, and God heard his cry. And this is what we have here, you see. Further words acknowledging here. These characters, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And he, a merciful, holy, merciful, gracious God. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them to their desired haven. Oh, friends, are you brought into such a place? Do you know, have you known the experience? Do you know it? Are you in it tonight? Oh, their soul melteth because of trouble. We're considering the trouble and why it has come. It's because of our folly. It's because of our rebellion. It's because God has a purpose of love and mercy to us that he causes us to come into trouble. He causes it to come. You have the same very, very much parallel word and situation with Job. He causes it to come. Troubles do not rise from the dust or spring from the dust. Troubles from the ground. Affliction doesn't rise from the dust or troubles from the ground. They're appointed, friends. And because, of course, God is well aware of everything of our sin and folly, and his love to us to so give him to be in purpose to correct us, to chasten us, to deal with us in mercy, he brings us to places where their soul melteth because of trouble, and where they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. But then they call, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Is your experience, what you have experienced, what you're in now, is your experience, what you're passing through, what you're experiencing, is it, can you follow it in this way? As repeatedly in this psalm, it is so put, like we read a little earlier, calls because of their transgression. And because of their iniquities are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And he saveth them out of their distresses. But friends, I want to come to how God's people are saved. How God's people restored and blessed. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. How can he? Because of what Jesus Christ has done. Because God has made a way whereby wretched, hell deserving sinners who are in their own folly, and because of the original sin and their actual transgressions and their folly of their ways, of their continuing in loving sin and going on in sin and iniquity, they are like they are, but God has set his love upon a number which no man can number. And those he set his love upon, he has sovereignly purposed, he shall be saved by grace. God by the Spirit has purposed and appointed the days when he will work by his Spirit in these characters he set his love upon. The first work of the Spirit is that they are quickened by God, by the Spirit, into life, into newness of life, made alive spiritually. And as God then goes on to be gracious, he works in them and he gives them to know they need They need salvation. They need a saviour. Because he makes them know what sinners they are, convicts them and convinces them. And convinces them they deserve to be punished forever in hell for their sins. And all they can do when they are convicted and convinced of their sins is to plead for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, whether you know that in the earliest days of God dealing with you, or whether you know it perhaps as God goes on to be gracious, it may be there is that concern wrought in the soul, but the deeper convictions come as God leads them on. But the Lord is a sovereign in his dealings. He will convince of sin, of righteousness and judgment to come. And in that and under that, oh, how the child of God has to do the only thing, and God enables them to do the only thing they can do, and that is cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Beg for mercy. Oh, there's mercy for sinners. There's forgiveness with the Lord that he may be feared. And God, wonderfully teaching his people, brings each one to know this favour and to plead with God. Oh, that the Lord would forgive them, would pardon them, would bless them to know their sins are forgiven, pardoned. And how are they pardoned? How can they be pardoned? The merits of Christ. The blood, holy blood of Jesus Christ. Way of redemption by the holy blood of God shed. The holy blood of God applied to the hearts and consciences of God's people. Oh, is thy soul melted because of trouble? Are you brought into such trouble? Trouble that is real and solemn. Trouble which is so much affects you, body, mind and soul. And as it is named here, their soul melted because of trouble. The whole person. You know, oh, there is forgiveness with the Lord, that he may be feared. Oh, the wonderful way of salvation. Christ, the Son of God, has come to this earth. He certainly has not shed his blood in vain. He has shed his blood for the redemption of the whole church of God, everyone that God has set his love upon. Christ has come to redeem them. Now, what you will want to know, what you will be made concerned to know, to pray, to cry to God for, when your soul is melted because of trouble, then you cry, and when you reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at your wit's end, that time of extremity, the end of the earth, how the psalmist says, from the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God's dear Son, who came to this earth wrapped in humanity to die for crimes. And oh, what you want to know, and I want to know, we all need to know, is crimes that I have done. Their soul is melted because of trouble. We are helpless. We are hopeless. We're wretched. We're undone. We're ruined in the fall. Oh, our trouble is so great, and it's so solemn, because according to this, our trouble, we are deservers of being cast away into hell. Eternity will be made a tremendous sound. The judgment day will be solemn as you look and consider that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, to give an account of the deeds done in the body. You've been brought to have your soul melted because of trouble. Oh, you can only look away from yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to Jesus, kind and strong, pity joined with power. Oh, this is what you must cry for We each must, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And how so wonderfully he can and will be merciful to these wretched sinners who he has by the Holy Spirit convicted and convinced of their sin. Convicted, convinced them they deserve the punishment due to their sin. That punishment due, oh, due to be cast away. Worthy of endless pains in hell because of our sins. But, oh God, set his love upon his people, and he has a purpose to save them because he must have them for his honour and glory forever in heaven. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. As you see, how we can feel, if we can, as we have experienced it and know God's way of salvation and know how he works in sinners and how he blesses souls, you can see how in the early hours I did feel some joy of thinking, wow, if the friends, some of the friends, any one of the friends at Swavesey are in this place, their soul melteth because of trouble. Oh, God has got a wonderful purpose in them and for them, in the way he's dealing with them. His purpose, his wonderful purpose, is to save. His purpose is to bless them to know they are redeemed, to bless them to know they are forgiven. Oh, his purpose for his people is to grant them the blessings they need. Oh, to give them to be so well taught of the Spirit, well grounded in the truth, established in the faith, and to know and love the truth as it is in Jesus, and those wonderful mercies in Jesus that exempt us from hell, and to sing of mercy and to praise God, to begin to praise God on earth because of what he's done for us. Oh, the wonderful favour of the revelation of Christ to precious souls in great distress and great trouble, great affliction. But as they look away from themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, they see him as their only hope, and oh, how precious he is. Oh, we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour. He has tasted death for every man. That's every one of God's people. He has tasted death for. Oh, friends, do you have hope? He has tasted, he has suffered death before all the pains of guilt of your sins laid upon him. The Lord has laid on him. Can you say, join with the people of God, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all? For we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord, that is, I believe, the Lord God, or God the Father, it could be said, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he's bore all his people's sins in his own body on the tree. He's bore all that incarnate God could bear with strength enough and under spare. And in all his sufferings, he was shedding, pouring out his holy blood. I mean, as we should consider beginning at Gethsemane, where he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. And I believe certainly in the judgment hall, certainly on the place of the pavement where he was scourged with that awful Roman scourge, and on the cross, oh, as those cruel Roman soldiers nailed him to the rugged cross, the wooden cross. And now he was lifted up. If the Son of Man be lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. These characters, men, these characters, taught of the Spirit, these characters convicted, convinced of their sin, who draw these guilty, hell-deserving sinners to him. Oh, they must flee for refuge to lay hold of the hope in the gospel. The Holy Spirit so works to cause them to, as they have been made to flee to Christ, for him to heal thee. For that holy blood is shed to be applied to thy heart and conscience. Oh, as they have so been given to, so know. Oh, well, God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. You won't be one of these that have to be cast away forever at last. Oh, God will receive those who are under the blood. They will be safe in the Lord. Oh, the favour of it, friends. But how wonderful really it is that God in his solemn dealings, gracious dealings, he does give his people to know the deep, solemn troubles of heart, convicted and convinced they are made to be by God. And oh, how their soul melteth because of trouble. And here they just do not know what to do. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. They've got no control of themselves. They've got no hope in themselves, no help in themselves. But God, in great mercy, causes them to look to Jesus Christ. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And as they cry in the way God so teaches them and causes them, and Jesus draws them to cry unto him, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Are there those here who have been brought? You've been brought out of your distresses. Oh, is it that you have been? But you can, and you never forget the deep experiences of being in such trouble. And also you know and feel it, and would freely confess it, solemnly confess it, that how prone to wander you still are, and how prone to leave the God you love, and how you will have learned by this particular time of deep trouble, a deep experience like is stated here, their soul melteth because of trouble. And having experienced it, perhaps in the fear of God, you've been continuing since then, and as God brought you up and out of it, you perhaps can say, he lifted me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. But how is it that you haven't said so? Haven't said so? For it says in the beginning of the psalm, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Have there been those experiences that God's granted you to feel and prove this and know this? You have hope, he has redeemed you from the hand of the enemy, and gathered you out of the lands, from the east and from the west, wherever you were born and where you dwelt, and brought you to the house of God, and coming into the house of God, you privately, yourself, in the service of God's house, you may have been kind of privately praising him. You know, others that stand with you, beside you, they don't know how you've been praising God, because it's been just from your heart to God, good as it is. But I believe this saying so is publishing it, testifying it. It is telling of his wondrous faithfulness, sounding his name abroad. Oh, that hymn is so sweet and good to me. It's a call to me in a way. Tell of his wondrous faithfulness. Sound his name abroad. Oh, speak of what he's done. Oh, tell poor sinners what a great, gracious God he is. Oh, how good our gracious God is. And you see, being brought into these depths, these places, these great troubles, and having our soul melted because of troubles. And the Lord then hearing us when we have to cry, when in extremity we have to cry to God. Then they cried unto the Lord. This is the record of those in these repeated acknowledgements of it here, and testimonies of it really, that is acknowledged by God, by the psalmist, by God, that this is who they are, they were, what they've experienced. And so what you have, friends. Oh, I pray the Lord will help you, each of you and me, to go on meditating upon the ways and the experiences we've had, and how that God has so dealt with us, and that we may so be more and more blessed to be living to the praise of our triune God. That we may be living to publish what he's done in humble thankfulness, and recognizing it and feeling the favour of it, and with love to others, that it may be in God's purpose that as we testify, another may be favoured and stirred up to testify. Oh, it has been sometimes, and we know it has been with the younger here. Oh, it has been sometimes a little child shall lead them. Oh, wonderful if it is so. But friends, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Place of quietness, of safety, of rest. A place of still waters. Not the angry billows now. But oh, you know, another storm may rise. Oh, I think of it, and you know how the Lord rises upon the flood. He does, he sits upon the flood, those earlier psalms. Psalm, I think, 29, perhaps. He sitteth upon the flood. He sitteth king forever. And so, friends, we are aware of this. Another tempest may rise through our folly, of our denying our God. But oh, that we may be so sanctified and taught that we may know a real exercise the desire to not grieve our God. Oh, does he give you it? Is there how the Holy Spirit so affects you and makes you deeply consider, am I really living to the praise of my good and gracious God? Those of you whom he has certainly done great things for, in you and for you, do you really think of this? Oh, your Saviour is beholding you and knowing everything about you. Oh, that our souls may be melted because of trouble, troubles of heart, troubles of conscience. The soul melted because of trouble. Trouble of conscience. Oh, the Saviour feels regarding how he's done so much for you. Have you got troubles of conscience? Wonderful if you have. I hope you will have. I hope you do have. Because if you are brought to have real troubles of conscience, your soul infects your whole person, melted because of trouble. And they cry unto the Lord. Oh, and he saveth them. And notice what it says. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Distresses. You know, God graciously makes his people to feel distresses because of their own shortcomings, because of the way their consciences are troubled, because of their way they live, the way they profess the name of God, of Christ. Oh, how he bringeth. You must cry unto you, to the Lord in your trouble. Cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. How can he bring them out? By giving them the grace, giving them the love to feel it more again and more and more, and that the love of Christ may constrain as it will. Oh, draw his people. Jesus draws the chosen race by his sweet, resistless grace. Resistless, friends, has he been drawing thee? Oh, it's resistless. You'll be brought into more trouble if you resist him. It's resistless. He doesn't allow it. Oh, you must fall. Come just as thou art. With thy woe, fall down at the feet of the Lamb. Oh, to know the favours of his grace and to be walking with him, to walk with God, to walk in liberty. How much have you felt liberty, real liberty? If you have to say, well, I can't really speak of liberty, is there not a reason? Is there not a reason that you can't? Have you grieved your God? Oh, he blesses those that are obedient. He prays the Father, he gives them another comforter. He blesses them, he favours them, not for their merit, but as his wonderful grace has affected them and given them to be so exercised to bear the fruits of the Spirit. Oh, them that honour me, I will honour. Oh, friends, I'm a poor preacher. I feel to come so short. But I do know much love to the people of God and to my dear Lord. He's favoured me to know and taste his love. And we love the brethren. We love Christ, we love God our Father, we love the Blessed Spirit for making love divinely known. Oh, our exercise, our burden is that many may know and taste redeeming love and so be blessed and taught and established in the faith to live to the praise of their triune God and made to be heirs of glory as according to the holy sovereign choice of God before the foundation of the world in time, dealt with by the Holy Spirit, taught and blessed and established in the faith. They live until that time of their home call comes, when they will be called home to be forever with the Lord. Oh, how I used to, with my fiancée, she was then, in our courting days, we used to sing together at the organ, stand together, she would play and I would sing, and we would sing, both would sing. And you know, there were times I couldn't sing because I was under conviction. One or two times of favour when we could sing, and even sing the sacred hymns of prospect forever with the Lord. Amen, so let it be. Oh, the prospect. God gave me it. Oh, favoured me with it. Right back in those days. And we have it still. Oh, we have that prospect through him that loved us and gave himself for us, that we shall be landed on yonder shores above. and therewith our soul expanded shall dwell where Jesus is. And those of you who have this prospect, but is it a concern that these remaining days that God's appointed for us to be in the time state, that we should use them? If we're in the fear of God, we want to use them in the cause of God and to his glory. May he help us. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock next Lord's Day, and then Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach, and Mr. Wheatley is expected to preach next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn number 6. God's ways are just, his counsels wise. No darkness can prevent his eyes. No thought can fly, nor thing can move, unknown to him that sits above. Hymn number 6.
O Lord, that we may be wise and observe these things. O, that favour of being among those who understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Bless the friends, Lord, give them meditation. O, help us to ponder over that we say, as we trust by the Spirit, brought us to consider tonight. Lord, bless the people. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.